This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for my weekly visit with John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. And John, what a week in politics.
What a week. It kept people like me up late Tuesday night and had me working early Wednesday.
Well, absolutely true. Let's talk about some of the most important results from Tuesday night's primary. I guess we have to start in Pennsylvania, where Arlen Specter, after five successful runs for the Senate as a Republican, denied in the Democratic primary as he tried to switch parties in order to keep his time in the Senate alive. In the end, the tactic did not work. Joe Sestak with a monster comeback in the final few weeks of that campaign. What do you make of it?
Well, when I was in Philadelphia and later Harrisburg, April 15th through the 17th, the consensus of opinion was that Specter would win, and polls showed this. However, all of the people I talked to couched that by noting that Congressman Joe Sestak was a tough customer and he could play rough in the end. Well, he certainly did, blitzing the state airwaves with films of Specter and former President George W. Bush, and a picture of him with Sarah Palin, and reminding voters that he had voted for the war in Iraq, the Bush tax cuts, and the confirmation of Supreme Court Justices Samuel Alito and John Roberts. He also had been on both sides of the card check issue, which was very important to organized labor. In the end, issues and the fundraising clout of liberal organizations such as MoveOn.org trumped. The president, the vice president, Pennsylvania Governor Ed Rendell, the unions, and the black clergy in Philadelphia. It was 53% for Sestak, setting the stage for a classic ideological shootout with conservative Republican Pat Toomey.
John, the state of Pennsylvania hasn't voted for a Republican in the presidential race since 1988, so if there is a classic ideological matchup, who has the edge?
Toomey. Any time an incumbent, particularly someone of the stature of Arlen Specter, is taken out, there's bound to be some wounds within the party. When I spoke to Pat Toomey in April, he had raised $8 million, and that's as much, if not more, than any non-incumbent Senate candidate in the country. He's well known from his near victory over Specter 6 years ago, and he very much goes into this race as Ronald Reagan did into the presidential race in 1980. A hero with a narrow loss before and someone people think should finally have his day. Republicans are united behind Toomey, and I predict he will win here and now.
John, let's move to another incumbent who didn't lose but seems to be in pretty big trouble. Blanche Lincoln failed to get the 50% plus one margin that she needed in Arkansas. In fact, she barely gathered more votes than her closest competitor, Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter. That means a majority of Arkansas Democrats went to the polls to try and remove her from office. What happens on the June 8th runoff?
And let me add a postscript to your comment, Greg. D.C. Morrison, a retired businessman from Little Rock, campaigned on a platform of scrapping the estate tax and repealing the Obama health care plan. His votes will be very pivotal in the runoff. This is the first time an Arkansas senator has been in a runoff since John McClellan in 1972, who did survive the runoff. So we're going into some very uncharted waters, or at least uncharted for 38 years. My own feeling is that in runoffs, it is the party activists and those motivated the most who turn out to vote. And in this case, organized labor and the party's left got behind Bill Halter, who, among other things, attacked the incumbent for not supporting big labor's cherished card check bill and for opposing a public option in the health care procedure. Although she did vote for the final procedural motion and the passage of the health care bill last December. In other words, it's a case of two liberal Democrats, but one more liberal than the other, and I will predict Bill Halter wins.
Very briefly, John, because we have a lot to get to. John Bozeman, the congressman from Arkansas, got more than 50% in an eight-candidate field. How big of a favorite is he going into November?
Oh, he's very strong. Again, it's like Toomey in Pennsylvania. His party is united behind him while the Democrats are having their own bloodbath.
And so we also will see the impact in the ensuing primaries and in November of the impact of the Tea Party, kind of a mixed bag result on Tuesday, John. They got their man in the Kentucky Senate race, Rand Paul, by a landslide over the establishment favorite in Trey Grayson, but they failed to get their man across the finish line in Pennsylvania's 12th congressional district in Tim Burns, what they thought could be a real good chance at a pickup in that seat once held by John Murtha.
Rand Paul's nomination was pretty much taken for granted. He had advanced in the polls, had done very well, and he was perceived as the anti-establishment candidate running against Trey Grayson, who had the blessings of former Vice President Cheney and Kentucky's other Senator Mitch McConnell. However, in Pennsylvania's 12th district, one should note, and I brought this up to Robert Gibbs at the White House, Mr. Kritz, the Democrat, ran as a pro-life, pro-Second Amendment Democrat who said he would never have voted for the health care bill. He also wrapped himself in the mantle of John Murtha for 37 years, a very respected congressman in the district who brought a lot of largesse back to it. And that was enough to win, particularly in a district where voter registration is 2-1 Democratic.
So maybe you can run against what's happening in Washington, but is that a blueprint for how Democrats might be able to keep the majority?
In this particular case, it is, but I don't think you're going to find many Democrats like the new congressman from the 12th District. And one parting shot. The last chapter on Pennsylvania's 12th District is yet to be written. Burns and Kritz both won nominations for the full term, so they will meet again in November.
John, let's talk about a couple of political figures who weren't on the ballot on Tuesday, but they sure made a lot of news on Tuesday. First of all, right next door to Kentucky, of course, is Indiana, and that is the home of Congressman Mark Sauter, who announced he is retiring effective Friday because of a years-long affair he had with a part-time staffer. This is a guy who, of course, has been very much a prominent figure in social conservative circles. What do you make of his dilemma?
I thought it was a stunning announcement and one that left me speechless, especially as I've known Mark Sauter for 16 years since his first election to Congress, and one would never think this was true of him. Then again, one would never think it was true of John Ensign of Nevada. But apparently, some of us don't know these figures in politics as much as we thought. His resignation means that Republican precinct committee men will select a new nominee within 30 days. The betting is it will be State Senator Marlon Stutzman, who came in second in the four-candidate Senate primary and had the backing of many Tea Party groups, and Senator Jim DeMint's Political Action Committee. The Democrat, Thomas Hayhurst, is a wealthy physician who gave Sauter a scare in 06. He will no doubt make an issue that the Republican was chosen by the party bosses. He was chosen by the people. This puts a race considered safe very much in play.
John, real quickly, your home state of Connecticut, where it looked like a slam-dunk Senate win for Attorney General Richard Blumenthal, but now, of course, he's under fire for a number of statements in which he made it pretty clear that he had fought in Vietnam when it's clear that he hadn't. What's the legs on this story?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Blumenthal survives. I've written a lot over the years about Republicans who exaggerated their military record and were all forced to the side of the road politically. I'm not sure this is that big a mortal sin among Democrats in the very liberal Democratic Party of the Nutmeg State, and I say that Blumenthal will survive. Is he as politically strong as he was? No, because this is an issue that has legs. It was page one in the New York Times. It is all over the state of Connecticut, and I think he will go in far less than a slam dunk in succeeding Dodd.
John, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks so much for being with us.
Enjoying this political week now that it's 2 days past. I'm John Gizzi on Capitol Hill.
John Gizzi, political editor at Human Events, the National Conservative Weekly. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.